Shalom Aleichem. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Baba Basra Kuf Yud Beis, Baba Basra 112b, pagination is 224. We're dealing with the case that was discussing the Benos Tzalaf Chod, specific daughters in the time of entry to the land of Israel, under the leadership of Moshe and Yehoshua. And a complaint that the people of their tribe had that if they would inherit their father's portion, their father having died during the time in the desert, then upon entry of the land of Israel, the portion assigned to their tribe would never in its initial state be complete. It would, in the words of some commentators, be corrupted. It wouldn't be intact. So we have a lot of information here. The Benos Tzalaf Chod in the desert approached Moshe and said, Avinu Meis Bamidbar, our father died in the desert, and we're entitled to a portion in the land of Israel. That's what they wanted. They wanted their father's portion because he left Mitzrayim with the Jewish people and they were promised a portion in the land of Israel. So now that it's coming time to give out those portions, they would like to inherit the portion. And the objection of the people of their tribe was that if you assigned this to them, and then these daughters would go ahead and marry into a different tribe, their husbands or children would inherit them. And that portion would never truly land into the portion of the tribe. It would immediately be removed into a different tribe. Now, we're being so careful in how we word it, it's becoming a little wordy, but there's no such restriction in future generations that a woman can't marry the person of a different tribe, and indeed, her portion may be inherited by her husband or her child, and that's totally true, and you could have an area of a certain tribe that has people of other tribes having ownership in that area. And that's fine. Their only objection was in the generation that entered the land of Israel that there shouldn't be this deviation from what was assigned to the tribe. Now, the ruling on this was that indeed the Benos Tzalaf Chod should marry people from their tribe. And the concept here being described in the Pasuk Zayin at the end of Chumash Bamidbar, Velosis of Nachla Levnei Yisrael, there should not be a transfer Mimata al Mata from one tribe to the next, Ki Ish Benachalas Mata Avosa Yvidiku Bnei Yisrael, instead we should keep things within the tribe, again, as we mentioned, during the first generation as they entered the land of Israel. V'chobasyo reshes nachla, the next pasuk says, when a daughter inherits property, so she should keep it, le'echad mimishpachas matei aviatia le'isha, she should marry somebody from the same shevet, so that the inheritance should be intact. Pasuk tes, velosis av nachla mimata lemata echer, and you should not be transferring inheritance from one tribe to the next, but rather it should stay in the tribe. This repetitive presentation over here teaches us, as we did in the last session, that a daughter inherits the parent, and also that the daughter come woman, when she gets married, is going to be inherited by her husband. And likewise, when she has a child, if the husband's not alive, then the child is going to inherit her. The Gemara says on the third line, Tanya Besibes Haben, we learnt regarding the transfer that a son would effect when he inherits his mother owning inheritance of land from a different tribe, but when the son inherits, the son's tribe comes from his father, the name of his tribe. So if the mother, let's say, was from Reuven, and she married someone from Shimon, and the child is going to be called a Shimon person, then when he inherits his mother, there was a transfer of Reuven inheritance to Shimon. V'losisav nachla levnei Yisrael, we know this because the Pasuk says, you should not transfer inheritance of the Jewish people, mimata el mata, from one tribe to the other. B'sibis habenekos medaber, it's talking about when a son inherits the mother. Asks the Gemara, Ata Omer, you're telling me, B'sibis haben, that is talking about the transfer that a son does on the inheritance he gets from the mother. O'enu ala b'sibis habal, maybe it's talking about when the husband inherits his wife. The wife dies before the husband inherits the property. Kishehu Omer, when it says, V'losisav nachla mimata lamata acher, there's another pasuk, as we said, as we were learning it, that it sounds repetitive. There's a second pasuk that also talks about transferring of property from one tribe to the next. So the transfer that's done by the husband has already been mentioned in the pasuk. Hamani mekayim v'losisav nachla levnei Yisrael mimata almata, essentially asking, why do you need a second pasuk? B'sibis haben hakasav medaber, it's talking about the transfer that the son does. And we learn from these psukim that it is true, the husband inherits and could be a source of transfer. The son inherits and he could be a source of transfer from one tribe to the next. And this, as a concern, was only in the first generation as they entered the land. But in future generations, that's the fact. There is an inheritance, but we don't have to do anything to protect ourselves against it. It was only in the first generation where transfer would, quote, corrupt, end quote, the integrity of the inheritance as it was divinely ordained, that they were told that if they were expecting or they acquired, they knew that an inheritance was going to be theirs, that they would have to stick within the family. This came up in Rashbam on yesterday's daf in the beginning, and Rashbam says that even if a person already married, there could theoretically be a chance that the brothers then died and then the father dies and she suddenly ends up unanticipated inheritance. That could indeed occur. But lo kapit kroel of shebishas nesuin, at the time of her marriage, in that generation, she shouldn't be doing a transfer from shevet to shevet. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.